Today's shiur is Masechta Makos Daf Yud Gimel. We will begin on Daf Yud Beis, Amud Beis, at the Mishnah at the bottom of the Amud. Says the Mishnah Ki Yotzba, similar situation. There's actually a machloikus in the Rishonim if this word Ki Yotzba belongs as the introductory words of this Mishnah. There are Rishonim that actually delete these words. There are Rishonim that say that the reason these words are mentioned here because we find an identical Mishnah in Masechta Shviyas, where there the words Ki Yotzba are appropriate. So the Mishnah, in order to use the same wording, keeps it in our Mishnah. And there's a third opinion, which we'll explain in a moment. Ki Yotzba Ritzeach Shigolol Im Miklotai. There's a person who's a murderer who ran to the city, to the Ir Miklat, V'rotza Anshi Il Chabdai. And the people of the Ir Miklat, he's a distinguished individual, want to show him honor. Yoimelahem, he should tell them, he should notify them, Ritzeachani, I am a Ritzeach. Amrloi, and if they tell him, Afbikain, still, Yikavimahem. Then he's allowed to accept it. Shnemar, as the Pasuk says, V'zedvar Ritzeach, the Ritzeach should announce whom he is. So the Mepharshim explained, what is the connection between this and the previous Mishnah? Just like we learned in the previous Mishnah, that if a Levi is a Ritzeach, it's and he lives already in Ari Levium, he's supposed to go to a different city. Why? Because that's part of the kapara process, that he moves elsewhere and feels the pain of being in Golis. So too, so we see that feeling the pain is an essential element in the kapara. And therefore here too, the Ritzeach should clearly announce, I am a Ritzeach, I am not due kofet. Which really is an interesting question in other areas of halacha, where somebody people want to show somebody respect or honor, which the person knows he's not deserving. What is the right thing to do? So the way it seems that the place can hold, this is based on Yerushalmi, is as follows. Let's say we have an individual who knows one Masechta, and people are trying to show him respect because they mistakenly believe that he knows two Masechtas. So he has the obligation to notify them, I only know one. Why? So Mepharshim explained, because it's a legitimate mistake that people think if you know one Masechta, you probably know two Masechtas. So if he doesn't, he should tell him, I really don't. However, let's say there's an individual who doesn't even know one Masechta. And people want to show him honor and say, you know, you obviously know this one Masechta. Why would they think he knows one Masechta? It's purely a mistake that they made that he didn't mislead them in any way. There, halachically, he's not obligated to tell them, well, I don't know anything. Unless, of course, he did something to mislead them. In other words, if he walks in dressed like a big Rosh Yeshiva, and that's why people assume that he's a big Talmud Chacham, when he isn't, then perhaps he probably should tell them. But then I saw a very interesting vart from the Bnei Yisoschar. The Bnei Yisoschar says that, as we just explained, that clearly the right thing is not to mislead anyone. Gnei v'stas. He said, but sometimes, and again, a person who's a real Yerushimayim and wants to do what's right has to think about all of the sides and all of the different arguments that can be made. Sometimes, by saying, you know what, I don't really deserve respect, that I'm not a Talmud Chacham, I'm not such a great person, all you'll do is get them to respect you more. Oh, he's also an Anav. And therefore, in every situation, it's important to judge what is the right thing to do the way a Yerushimayim behaves. Continues the Mishnah. According to Rabbi Yehuda, they used to pay rent. That's how Rashi learns. Tosfos learns that it's not a question of rent, but it's rather a question of taxes. And as the Mepharshim explained, there's a big nafkamina between Rashi and Tosfos. According to Rashi, we're only speaking about paying rent. But certainly Rashi will agree that under no circumstances would a Ritzeach have to pay taxes. Whereas according to Tosfos, it's just the opposite. The discussion in our Mishnah, we're going to discuss it more in the Gemara in a moment, is only regarding taxes. But regarding rent, according to Tosfos' understanding, no matter what, when, or where, he has to pay rent. So again, Malam HaYischar L'Levim D'Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, they did pay rent. They didn't pay rent. As I said, the Gemara will explain this machlokes in a moment. Another halacha. The Ritzeach now leaves Dari Miklat, as we've been discussing, when the Kohen Gadol passes away. The question is, let's say he was in a prominent individual and he had a position of importance. Does he go back to that position or not? So, says the Mishnah, V'chayzel Ashrara Shahibah Div Remeya. According to Remeya, he goes back to that position. Whereas, according to Yehuda Omer, he doesn't go back to that position. And this too will be explained more in a moment. So, says the Gemara, Amar Rav Kahana, the machloik we had in the Mishnah a moment ago, a machloikis, if the Ritzayach has to pay rent, says the Gemara, says Rav Kahana, machloikis, this machloikis is in the sheish. In the, as we learned earlier in our parak, there were a sheish Ari Miklat, there were a six Ari Miklat that were designated as the Ari Miklat, but we also learned that the 42 Ari Levim also have the ability to be koilit a Ritzayach. So says Rav Kahana, when we have a machloikis in our Mishnah, if one has to pay rent when he goes to the Ari Miklat, that's only regarding the six designated Ari Miklat, the Masover, Lachem, Laklita. The Rabbi Hud is of the opinion that it's only there for Klita, but that doesn't change the fact that you have to pay rent. And Masover, and Ramey is of the opinion, Lachem, Lachol Tzorcheichem. If the Torah tells this person to go to Ari Miklat, the Torah has to set it up in a way that he shouldn't have to pay for his need to be there. Aval, according to Rav Kahana, Babayim V'shtayim, and the 42 Ari Levim, there is no argument, according to Rav Kahana, Divrei Hakol Ha'imalim Schar, they had to pay rent. Amle Rava, says Rava to Rav Kahana, Havadai Lachem, L'chotzer Chechem Mashma. I disagree with you, says Rava. In the six Ari Miklat, there is no question that you don't have to pay rent. The Torah says Lachem, and we understand Lachem meaning L'chol Tzorcheichem. El Amarava, where is there a Machloikis? Machloikis is Baboim V'shtayim. If the Reitzeach ran to one of the 42 Ari Levim. The Masover V'aleim Titnu Kehanach L'klita. That when the Pasik is Makish, the Ari Levim to the Ari Miklat, it's strictly to the element of Klita, to that issue. That just like the Ari Miklat can be koilet, so too can the Ari Levim, but not to the other halachas. And therefore, even though in the Ari Miklat, rent doesn't have to be paid, and the Ari Levim, rent does have to pay. Masover, whereas Rameya holds, Velem Titnu, if the Torah is makish, the Ari Levim to the Ari Miklat, the halach is, they have to be complete, they're completely similar. Kehanach, Mahanach, just like the Ari Miklat. L'chol Tzorcheichem, rent doesn't have to be paid. Says Rameyer, Af Hani Nami, L'chol Tzorcheichem, you don't have to pay rent. Aval B'sheish, when we speak about the six Ari Miklat, says Rava, the Rehakol, Mahaya Malam Schar, there is no pay reason. Everybody agrees, in those cities, rent is not paid. So Mefarshim asks a fundamental question. We have a rule throughout Shas, Ein Hekish L'machza, that if Torah is makish, compares two subjects, the comparison is complete. So how do we understand, according to this, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, according to Rava, where he's makish, the Ari Levim to Ari Miklat, to the din, that they could be koilet, but he's not makish regarding the rent, that in the Ari Miklat you don't have to pay rent, and in the Ari Levim, you do have to pay rent. If we're makish, we should be makish all the way. So the truth of the matter is, this question could be asked regarding a subject that we learned at the beginning of the parak. At the beginning of the parak, we learned that the Ari Miklat are koilet bein ladas and bein shaloi ladas, whereas the Ari Levim are only koilet ladas. Just to review, how did we understand that Gemara? That the Ari Miklat are koilet even if the person doesn't know that they koilet. Or another pshat that we learned, that even the person enters the Ari Miklat without really being aware that he entered the Ari Miklat. He was sleeping. But if the Ari Levim to be koilet, it has to be ladas. He has to know he's there, he has to know that it works. So again, we have the same question. If the Torah was makish, these two types of cities, ein hekish lemachza, shouldn't be all the way. So Rabbi Yosef Engel says a very fundamental answer in understanding the concept of ein hekish lemachza. He explains that when we say ein hekish lemachza, that's only when we speak about the core issue, the essential issue. Now when we speak about all the secondary rules that don't speak to the heart of the matter. So when we say that we're makish, when the Torah, when the Gemara says that the makish or levim to the Ari miklat, that means that they're both koilet. That's the essential rule we're talking about. These other rules about paying rent and about das, that doesn't speak to the heart of the matter. And saying that they're not identical regarding those rules is not a violation of the concept of Ein Hekish Lamechza. Continues the Gemara. Chazal Shorar Shoreba. We discussed at the end of the Mishnah, does the Ritzeach, what happens to the position that he had when he goes back to the home? Tana Abonim, Vishava Mishpacht Vachuzes Avosov, Yoshev, Vachuzes Avosov Yoshev, Vemishachtu Yoshev, Vein Shav Lemashach Zika Avosov Divir Reb Yehuda. And as the Aruch Lener and the Ritva both say, there are really two scenarios that the Mishnah and the Gemara are speaking about. One scenario is where this Ritzeach had a position, and now he's going back home. And the question is, does he go back to that position? Another situation is that he didn't have a position, but he's part of the family that has a Yerusha of this position. And now when he goes back, does he get back in line for that position? And according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, he doesn't. Ramei Omer, Afu Shav L'Mashach Zikwa Avoysov. He goes back to that position, Al Chuzus Avoysika Avoysov. Now the Gemara that we've been learning now is not speaking about Ari Miklat. The Gemara we've been speaking now is speaking about an Eved Ivri. That an Eved Ivri, we know if somebody, Rachman Son, steals, and he can't afford to pay back, he's sold as an Eved Ivri. And says the Gemara, we have the same Machloikis that we had in our Mishnah by Golus as by an Eved Ivri. Does he go back to that position? And in fact, says the Gemara, became a goyla, sh'oim a yoshev, the rabbis as a ritzeach. Mai became a goyla, k'netanya, as we just explained. Yoshev haritzeach, al eretz achuzasoi. So says Rabbi Yehuda, l'eretz achuzasoi hushav, he goes back home, however, ve'en shav l'mashach ziko avoysov, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Ramei oimer, af hushav l'mashach ziko avoysov, he goes back home, he goes back to that position, because Gavag Shiva Shiva Mahasam, he learns the halacha, just like an Eved Ivri goes back to that position, so too does the Ritzeach. So the way the Ritva explains the Gemara is that the machlaikas of Ramei and Rabbi Yehuda is limited to the situation where, as I explained before, this person had this position previously, or this position belongs in the family. But what would be the halacha if the person didn't have the position, and it isn't in the family, and this person is a Ritzeach? Or this person was an Eved Ivri. Ritva, and it seems to be Pashup Shad in the Gemara, holds that then, to take a person who was a Ritzeach, to take a person who was a Ganef, was sold as an Eved Ivri, and give him a position of permanence, is inappropriate. There are other Mefarshim that disagree with Ritva, and then I saw there were other Paiskim, because unfortunately, question could happen. What would happen if somebody was in jail? And now he's Baruch Shem out of jail. Can you make him the rabbi? So it seems that there are paiskim that hold that it's specific to the cases that our Gemara is speaking about. Our Gemara is speaking about a ritzeach and a ganef. So somebody who's a ritzeach and a ganef, unless it's a situation that he had the job before, or it's a situation that belonged to the family, to go and choose that individual to a position of prominence in our community is inappropriate. But any other crime may be treated differently. There are paiskim, however, to say no. Anybody who was in a position that he was in jail, and he doesn't have a chazak on that job, he shouldn't be taken back. Another halacha that's based on this Gemara, and paiskim discussed this at great length. Let's say somebody had a chazaka. A question that comes up, let's say somebody had a chazaka that he bought mafta yoina every year. And then he got hit by the economy, and he can't afford to buy mafta yoina. And then Baruch Hashem, things turn back around for him, and he has the chazaka. Based on this Gemara, it's quite clear that he should get back his chazaka. Because our Gemara is teaching us that if there are extenuating circumstances that prevent him from having his position, then his chazaka remains. Another question that is very much based on this Gemara Many Paiskin discuss this, and the Shar Mitzvah Balacha has quite a lengthy discussion about it. Our Gemara seems to teach us the concept of Mashach Ziku Avoisov, that somebody is entitled to a position because his forefathers had that position. And the question comes up that clearly in Halacha, that is taken into consideration. The question that comes up, the Chassam Sofer has a tshuva, the Avni Nezer has a tshuva, is Rabbonis go Birusha? The Avni Nezer says that Rabbonis goes Birusha. The Chassam Sofer says that Rabbonis does not go Birusha. Why? Because somebody in the position of a Rav or a Rosh Yeshiva or a Magid Shir who's going to be teaching Torah says it has to be the best person for the job. Klal Yisrael needs the best people for the job, and therefore, even though this person, his father or grandfather had this position, if there are better candidates for the position, the Chassam Sofer says that candidate should get the position. It's interesting to note that the Shor Mitzion Balacha, when he discusses that question, he says perhaps that was in times where Rabbanim were chosen based on being Talmid Chachamim. So if you're choosing a person to be a Talmid Chacham, you look at who's the bigger Talmid Chacham. And just because this other person's father was a Rav, maybe there's a bigger Talmid Chacham. But he says in a situation where the Rabbonis is not based on being a Talmud Chacham, maybe it's based on being a social worker or other important qualities, there maybe the Chassam Sofer's tshuva doesn't apply. Hadron lach eilein ha-goylen, hadron lach eilein ha-goylen, hadron lach eilein ha-goylen. Says the Mishnah, ve'elehen ha-loiken. Actually, this Mishnah, again, there's a machloikis rishonim if the word Elu, ve'elu is appropriate, or to really say elu. There are rishonim that have the girsa of elu without the vav. Why? Because actually, even though we're already up to halfway through the mesechta, this is really the primary topic of this mesechta. The primary topic, as the name of the mesechta implies, is makis. So now we're starting learning about makis. So according to that, the girsa should be elu hein alaykin. The girsa that we have is elu hein alaykin. Why do we have this girsa? Because it's continuation of what we learned previously, actually the first Mishnah of the Masechta. The first Mishnah of the Masechta discussed that even though normally the halacha is v'sisim l'kasha zomem lasis lachif, but we learned that some, in the case of Ben Grushim and Chalutza, by Golis, there it's not that they do kasha zomem, but rather the Edom zomem get malchus. So says the Mishnah, v'eilein aloikim. So now we're going to continue discussing the subject of malchus. And actually, it's interesting to note, not that our Mishnah mentions all of them, and not that I know all of them by heart. The Rambam says there are 207 cases where somebody could get Malkus. And now we're going to mention, and our Mishnah is going to mention quite a number of those situations. And as will become apparent in learning the Mishnah and in learning the Gemara, it's not only situations where the Torah specifically says there's a Chi of Malkus. Actually, it becomes very clear in our Mishnah that there are quite a number, and those are actually the first cases of the Mishnah, and the Mefarshim explain why are they the first case of the Mishnah, because it represents actually a chiddush, that the primary einish for these averus is really kares, but as we're going to, Mitzvah Shem, hopefully understand as we learn the Gemara, there are times that somebody does an aver for which there's a chiv kares, he gets malchus. And those are actually the first series of cases mentioned in our Mishnah, where our Mishnah says, Abba al-Khaisai, somebody has relations with his sister, al-Khais Aviv, his father's sister, al-Khais Ima, his mother's sister, al-Khais Ishtoi, his wife's sister, of course only as long as his wife is still alive, al-Aishis Achiv, his brother's wife, unless it's a situation of Yibum, al-Aishis Achi Aviv, his father's brother's wife, al-Anida, again, all of these are really cases that the primary punishment, I have to repeat, is Kares, Amon al-Kohen Gadol, and the Mefarshim actually point out that if we look at the wording of the Mishnah, the wording sort of changes. First the Mishnah said, Abba al-Khaisav, al-Khais Aviv, al-Khais Imai, but when it comes to Amon al-Kohen Gadol, it doesn't say Habba, it doesn't say Al-Kohen Gadol Habba al-Amona, it says Amon al-Kohen Gadol. Why? So they explain, and we learned the Gemara Masechta Kedushin, whereas, by all the other Arayas, the halacha is that when is one chayiv for having those relations, when he physically has the relationship. By kohen gadol with almana, the issur is as soon as he's mekadosher. That's why the Mishnah is very meduyik. It changes the wording. Almana l'kohen gadol, as soon as the kohen gadol marries the almana, even if they didn't have physical relationships yet. Grusha v'chalutz l'kayin hejit, mamzeres v'nesina l'Yisrael. And when we speak about a nesina, we ought to, as the Rishonim all do in this Gemara, review the history of the nesinim. The history of the nesinim goes back to the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, where these were people who had fooled Moshe, that history of fooling Moshe Rabbeinu and fooling Yeshua and fooling Dovid HaMelech. They didn't fool Dovid HaMelech, but Dovid HaMelech made a gzeir about them into not being honest about who they were. They were actually members of the Zion Umetz, of the seven nations that lived in Canaan. And Moshe Rabbeinu said that they may not enter Klal Yisrael. Yeshua said that they should be servants in the Beis HaMikdash. But as the Rishonim explained, Yeshua's gzeirah was only to be effective as long as the Beis HaMikdash was standing, the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash was standing. After they were destroyed, the gzeirah would be over. And then Dovid HaMelech extended it forever. Dovid HaMelech extended it, as we've learned in Masechet Sanhedrin, because he saw in them terrible behavioral traits, because they were hurt, because it was Noiv Ir Kahanim, they lived in that city, and Shaul HaMelech had that city eradicated, so they lost their source of support. And when Dovid HaMelech asked them what should be done to Shaul and his family, they were very cruel. And Dovid HaMelech said, these aren't people that have the characteristics of Bnei Yisrael, and they don't belong with us. There is a Machlokes HaRishonim. What is the status of Nesinim? Some Rishonim learned that Nesinim only have an Issa D'Rabbanan. It's not Midaraisa that Nesinim are Aser. There are those that hold it's Daraisa, and even in that opinion, there are actually two opinions. Some say it was only the first generation Nesinim that are Aser Daraisa, and there are other Rishonim that say that the Isser is forever. So again, says the Mishnah, Mamzeres v'Nesinim Yisrael, Bas Yisrael and Nosel Mamzer, Amon of a Grusha. If you have a woman who's both an Amona and a Grusha, Chayovin Olam Mishum Shnei Shemes. That means, if a Kohen Gadol were to have relations with such a woman, he gets two sets of Malkus, because a Kohen Gadol is not marrying neither an Amona nor a Grusha. And here too, the Rishonim point out, it has to be in this specific order. The first she was an Amona, and then she became a Grusha. Why? Because otherwise we have a problem of Ein Issachal Alisser. So when it's specifically this order, where first she's an Almana, and Almana is only Aser to a Kohen Gadol, and then she becomes a Grusha, she gets remarried, and she becomes a divorcee, which is Aser to all Kahanim. So since she becomes Aser to all Kahanim, that's why there's no problem of Ein Issachal Alisser. But let's say she was first a Grusha, so she's Aser to all, so she's also ready to all Kahanim, and then she becomes an Almana, there's an issue of Ein Issachal Alisser, and she would not carry two chiyuvei malchus. Grusha v'chalutza, but let's say there's a woman who's both a grusha and a chalutza, then the halacha is, says the Mishnah, ein chayav el mishum achas pavad, there's only one set of malchus involved. And as Machlokes Rishonim asked to why, Rashi explains that the reason is there's only one set of malchus, because the Isser chalutza, Rashi learns that the Isser chalutza is an Isser daraisa. However, Rashi explains that the Isser chalutza emanates from the Isser Grusha, and therefore it's all one and the same Isser, so there's no reason for the Torah, there's no reason to give two sets of Malkus. Tosfos, however, has a very different explanation. Tosfos says that the Isser Chalutza is only an Isser Derabbanan. And since it's only an Isser Derabbanan, in a place where you're getting Malkus for an Isser Deraisa, you don't get Malkus for an Isser Derabbanan. And there are a number of ways of understanding what Tosfos means. One way of understanding what Tosfos means is that in a place where there's an Issa D'Raisa, there is no Issa D'Rabbanan. And therefore, they won't get Malkus D'Raisa, and certainly not, and neither Malkus Mardus, Malkus D'Rabbanan. Others explain that what Tosfos means to say is that there's only one set of Malkus in this case, which is Malkus D'Raisa. The Malkus Mardus, for being over the Issa D'Rabbanan of a Kohen marrying a Chalutza, was still very much in effect. And what the Mishnah means is, here in this situation, there would only be one set of Malkus Daraisa, but a set of Malkus Darabonim would still be in effect. And this is a very important question. Why is this a very important question? Because the question that many achronim discuss is in a situation where it is a chiv deraisa or an issa deraisa, it works both ways, and it's also a subject that's subjected to the rabbanon. Is the rabbanon relevant when a deraisa is relevant? I'll give you an example. Questions like this: the aloch is the mid deraisa, we're only supposed to take the aluminum on the first day of Sukkos. The other days is only mid rabbanon. And therefore the halach is, I'm not saying l'chatchil once you do this, esrog achoser, if esrog is missing some part of it, the rice on the first day of Yontif, you can't use it, because esrog achoser is possible with the rice. On the other days of Yontif, when the entire mitzvah of taking dalaminim is only a mitzvah derabonon, you could take esrog achoser. So now the question comes up as follows. Let's say somebody, it's the first day of Yontif, and the only esrog you have is esrog achoser. You have no other esrog available. Is it preferable to take the esrog achoser and at least fulfill the rabbanon? Or do we say that it, since on the first day of Yontif there's a chiv deraisa, when there's a chiv deraisa, there's no chiv derabbanon? And if there's no chiv derabbanon, taking the esrog achoser is a meaningless act. You weren't mekayim the deraisa, and there is no derabbanon, because there is no derabbanon operative in a place where there's a deraisa. Very important shaila, and it really depends on how to understand. According to Tosfos' explanation, that a chalutz is an issa d'rabbanon, how do we understand the Mishnah? Do we understand that the issa d'rabbanon still applies when there's issa d'raisa? Or do we say that b'makom that there's issa d'raisa, there is no issa d'rabbanon applicable at all? Continues the Mishnah. Ha'tameh she'achal sa'kodesh, if somebody tameh ate something that's kodesh, or habo al migdish tameh, somebody enters the base of migdish when he's tameh, or somebody who eats chaylev, dam, nois, or pigle. Pigle, we know, means that when somebody did one of the four essential avoidas of the carbon, shchita, zrika, kabbalah, halacha, he had a mind to eat it after the right time, or eat it at, not in the right place. Vashaych ramal b'chutz, somebody that brings a carbon outside of the azara. V'oichel chometz b'Pesach, somebody eats chometz b'Pesach. V'oichel v'oisem malach b'Yom Kippurim, or somebody does malach on Yom Kippur. V'mefatem es ha-shemen, we spoke in the last parak about the shemen ha-mishcha. And if somebody takes the exact formula, the exact recipe of the shemen ha-mishcha, and copies it for his own personal use, or v'mefatem es ha-ktiris, or he takes the exact recipe of the ktiris and makes it for his own private use, v'asoch b'shemen ha-mishcha, or if somebody takes the Shemen HaMishka and uses it to anoint himself for his own personal use, va'oichel nevelus v'treifis, shkotzim v'remashim, ochel tevel, if eats tevel, tevel is something for which there is no, for which the trumas and maestris weren't removed, or maestrisha shloinetra trumasoi. We know what halach is, that every year of the 6 years in the Shemitah cycle, maestrisha, which is 10%, has to be given to the Levi, but the Levi has the obligation to take from that Maiserishin Truma Gedoyla, 10% of what he receives, and give it to the Kohen. And if the Levi did not remove and give the Kohen the Truma Gedoyla, that Maiserishin is Tevel, or Maisersheni. Maisersheni is in the first and second, and fourth and fifth years of the cycle. The halacha is you have to take the produce and either redeem it, or if not redeem it, take them up and eat in Yerushalayim, or Hegdish, if somebody eats Hegdish, Shlai Nifta, that it wasn't properly redeemed. All these cases are situations, and we'll discuss many, if not most of these cases, in depth in the Gemara, for which there is a Chiyiv Malkus. Ask the Mishnah, Kama Yoichel Min HaTevel V'Yechayiv, how much Tevel does one have to eat to be Chayiv? Rav Shimon Omer, Rav Shimon says that you have to eat a kalshu, even if you eat a kalshuhu, whereas v'chom Omer kazayis. Like all over the shiras kazayis. Omer Omer Rav Shimon says Rav Shimon to the chachomim, i'atamoydimli, don't you agree, b'oichel namola kalshuhu, that if somebody, we know that there's a very strong isser, tomorrow later in our parak we'll discuss it, to eat sheketz, to eat a remes, to eat a talas, a worm, and even though it's a minute size, the halacha is that you chayiv. So here too, ought the halacha not to be the same, that you don't have to eat a kazayas, you should just eat a kol shu, and you be chayy by eating all of these food items? Amalai says, no. The reason that the shear is there, a kol shu, because it's a barrier. It's a full living organism, even though it's so small. Machlokes Rishonim, how to understand the isser of barrier. Some Rishonim explain that a barrier is considered a dover choshev. It's considered, since even though it's so small, but since it's a full living organism, it's considered something which is dover choshev, for which therefore that is the shear. Other Rishonim explain it differently. Other Rishonim explain that if we see that the Torah told us that we're not allowed to eat shkotzim or ramashim, the Torah was well aware of what the size of shkotzim and ramashim are. And yet the Torah said, you're not allowed to eat one. You're not allowed to eat a sheket. You're not allowed to eat a remes. So the Torah teaching us that here the shear is a kol shehu. Amalan, so he responded, as chita achas, so too is the shear by chita that kibriyasa. The shear is that even the smallest amount is it's considered a barrier. One grain is considered a barrier. However, the Rishonim point out that the only time we say that something is also as a barrier, even the smallest amount, is only in a situation that it was osur mitchilas briusai. From when this item came into existence, it was osur. And that's the best example of shkotzim ramashim. They're osur from the moment that they're created. The Rishonim ask, tevel. Tevel could be, even though it's osur from when it's processed, because it becomes tevel if you didn't take off the trumas and maisers, but can it be repaired? Because let's say somebody eats tevel, can't he just take off the trumas and maisers from elsewhere? The halacha is that he can't repair it anymore. Because the halacha is that truma has to be taken min hamukaf. It has to all be there. And if you already eat it, it's shloi min hamukaf, and that's why it's a bear, according to this mandama, even the smallest shear. Ask the Gemara, the Gemara makes the following observation. As I said, our Mishnah doesn't only speak about cases for which there's a chi of Malkus. Our Mishnah speaks about cases for which there's a chi of Krisis also. But interestingly enough, even though our Mishnah speaks about cases that there's a chi of Koris and that the aloch is that one gets Malkus under those circumstances, in the long list of cases that we just learned in the Mishnah, there does not appear a situation for which there's a chiv mises bezdin. And that point makes the Gemara. Chayv ekrisis katani. Our Mishnah speaks about cases for which there's a chiv karis, that there could be a circumstance that you could get malchus. However, chayv mises bezdin loy katani. Our Mishnah never speaks about a case that there's a chiv mises bezdin. Says the Gemara, masnis mani. So whose opinion does our Mishnah represent? Says the Gemara, it represents the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. The Tanya, as we learned in the Braisa, Echad Chayv Krisis, Vechad Chayv Mises Bezdin. Both Chayv Krisis and Chayv Mises Bezdin, Yeshnam Beklal Malkus Aboim. One can end up being Chayv Malkus Aboim for them, Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. And as the Gemara understands now, even though that will not very much not be the maskon of the Gemara, but the Gemara at this point means to understand that in these cases, according to Rabbi Shmuel, even though there's a chiv karis, and even though there's a chiv mises bezdin, there's also a chiv malchus, whereas Rabbi Kiva holds, chayv krisis, yeshna beklal malchus, chayv krisis, as our Mishnah clearly teaches us, says Rabbi Kiva, there is a chiv malchus also, chayv krisis, Yeshna Bekal Malkus Abayim, not Chayv Mises Bezdin. Why? Because explains Rabbi Kiva, Shem also Tshuva, whereas by Chayv Krisis, which is not a punishment, this is the way the Noida Behud explains the Gemara, the Chiv Karis is administered Min HaShemayim, because whatever explanation we have a Karis, that the person dies young, he loses his children, he loses Olam Haba, or different combinations of those Peshatim. Those are all things that are administered Min HaShemayim. So Chayv Krisis, Yeshna Beklal Malkus Abayim, because there is a way, says Rabbi Kiva, that you may never end up getting Karis. Why? Shem Asa Tshuva, Bezdin Shemal, and Moichel Mohen. then he won't get the karas. Whereas chayiv mises bezdin and b'chlam malchus aboyim, there is no chayiv malchus. Why says Rabbi Kiva shem asa tshuva and bezdin shemat malchlam? Even if somebody did tshuva, that doesn't bezdin. If he did an aveira for which there's a chayiv mises bezdin, bezdin will have to give the mises bezdin. Why? So they're primarily two pshatim. The simple pshat is as follows. A person walks into Bezdin, he did tshuva. He says he did tshuva. Do we really know if he did tshuva? Do we know what's doing in somebody's heart? So, chiv karis, which is given in a shemayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what's doing in our hearts. So if the person indeed did tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be moichel the chiv karis. Whereas the chiv mises Bezdin, which is not HaKadosh Baruch Hu's administration, it's Bezdin's administration. And Bezdin has really no way of knowing if the person was sincere. Did he indeed do tshuva or not? They have no choice but to give the chiyuv mises Bezdin. That's one pshat in the achroinim. Another pshat, Noi Rabbi Yehuda says a different pshat. He says as follows. A punishment is not just a punishment to the person who did the aveira. A punishment is also a deterrent. If somebody knows that if he does this aveira, he'll get this punishment, or if somebody knows if this aveira was done by someone else, he got that punishment, that will prevent him from doing the aveira. So if Bezdin was told to give Mises Bezdin for whatever aveira that we've learned over our sugyas, and then the person says, I did tshuva, and Bezdin accepts that he did tshuva, so then we'll never have a deterrent, because you always have a way to get away from the einish. I did tshuva. And then the entire purpose of the einish, which is to serve as a deterrent, will fall away. Therefore, Bezdin, even if the person did tshuva, has to administer the punishment that the Torah requires it to do. There's another point that the Noi Rabbi Yehuda makes based on this Gemara. There are people that sometimes do aveiros, Rahman al-Islam, and they assume that doing tshuva is a complicated, arduous process. And that maybe prevents them from doing tshuva, or maybe that is difficult for them to do. Says the Noi Rabbi Yehuda, from our Gemara we see that tshuva doesn't necessarily have to be physically difficult. What's the raya? Because our Gemara says that by chayiv krisis, a masu tshuva, if they did tshuva, moichlu lahem. Now how do we know if he did tshuva or not? We should be able to tell if he went through the entire process of doing tshuva. That he fasted, and he didn't go to weddings and I don't know what. The Mishnah doesn't say, the Gemara doesn't say it. What the Gemara says is Masa Tshuva. Says the Noi Rabbi Yehuda, from here we see that Tshuva is in the heart. Tshuva is not in the body. And therefore, if a person sincerely does Tshuva, it doesn't require Tanesim and it doesn't require Sigufim and all sorts of other things like that. Rabbi Yitzchak is a third opinion. We'll discuss Rabbi Yitzchak's opinion more in tomorrow's year. Chayiv Kris the Chlal Haya. The Torah speaks about all of the people that have the Isser Arayas. Says Rabbi Yitzchak, so, V'lami Yotzah Karas B'chayisai, why does the Torah again mention that if somebody, Rechmon Letzlan, has relations with a sister, his Chayiv Karas, why not? She should be the same as all the other Arayas. To teach us, V'loi L'doina B'Karas, V'loi B'Malchus. And as the Mefarshim explain what the Gemara is saying, the Gemara is teaching us that davishai beklal, if something, this is one of the yud gimel midas, if something is part of a group, the yotzman a klal, and then it was singled out, the yotzman a klal alamet, loy alamet al atzma yotzah, it's not only here to teach us a rule that affects it, el alamet a klal kula yotzah, it comes to teach us something regarding the entire group. And therefore here, when the Torah singles out that the halacha is that by somebody having relations with a chaysoi, there's a chiyuv karis, it's coming to teach us not only here, but even in any case of a chiyuv karis, there's strictly a chiyuv karis and not a chiyuv malchus. So Rabbi Shmuel, unlike our Mishnah, we learned a moment ago, holds that anybody, even by chiyuv karis, and even by chiyuv mises bezdin, even by chiyuv karis, and even by chiyuv mises bezdin, there could be a malchus. Ask the Gemara, my Talmud Rabbi Shmuel, the Ksiv. The pasuk says, "Im lo sishmer lasas is called divrei azois." Here it's talking about an aver for which there's a mises bezdin. the ksiv avodah zarah, and the pasuk says v'hifla Hashem es komasecha haflazu eni day mahu. I don't know what the Torah means, says Rabbi Shmuel, when it uses the word v'hifla keshu oimer, when the pasuk says elsewhere v'pila hashoifet v'karo lefonof. So we see the word v'piloi is used regarding malchus. Have a oimer haflazu malchus. That the definition of haflah is malchus. Have oimer haflazu malchusu. The ksiv in the pasuk says lishma lasas is kol, that by every lav there's a chi of malchus. Ask the Gemara Yehochi, if we're saying by every aveira there's a chi of malchus. So maybe go even further, Rabbi Shmuel, and say Yehochi a chayv esay nami, that if one violates a mitzvah asay, he should also get malchus. Answers the Gemara, since the pasuk says im lo sishmar, the pasuk uses the words im lo sishmar, ukid reb oven amr beloy, damer reb oven amr beloy, kam makum shnema yishama pen v'al. Whenever the Torah uses one of those words, any elalais asay, and therefore the pasuk is limiting itself that when somebody was over a laugh. So I saw a beautiful verse from the Gra. There's a very famous medrash that Rashi quotes. Avram Avinu sends Eliezer. Avram Avinu sends Eliezer to find a wife for his son Yitzchak. And Eliezer says, Ulai leisava isha acharai. Maybe I won't find any girl that wants to come with me to marry Yitzchak. So Rashi says, Bas Hayil Eliezer. Eliezer had a daughter, Bas, V'elishma, and her name was Ulai, and we were saying to Avram Avinu that if I can't find somebody else, perhaps that I should marry Yitzchak to my daughter. And Avram Avinu says, Ata Orur, you're from Elkanan, you're cursed, Vani Barur, V'ein Orur Mistabik B'Baruch. So the Gra asks, what's for Avram Avinu who went from Eliezer? Avram Avinu is giving Eliezer a job, and Eliezer is doing the right thing. He's asking him what the different possibilities that could happen, and what should I do? And he's saying, why was Avram Avinu angry at Eliezer and gives him such a sharp answer? Answers the Gra, in the Chumash, there are two words that are very similar. There's the word pen, and there's the word ulai. Both those words, if we had to define them in English, we would say perhaps. But there's a very big difference between those two words. The word pen is something that you don't want to happen. Pen yifta levavchem. Agamar says the word pen means loisasei. You're not supposed to do it. The word ulai is the word perhaps, but you want it to happen. So Avram Avinu was saying to Eliezer, there's nothing wrong with your question if you had used the word pen. That you would have said that this may happen, and you want me to tell you what to do. But you use the word ulai, which means you want it to happen. So that's wrong, and that's why he had to be answered sharply. Continues the Gemara. Ihachi asked the Gemara, if Rabbi Shmuel is now teaching us that wherever the Torah uses these words, wherever there's a lav, at least, there's a chi of malchus, so Ihachi lav she'em b'mayis nami. So even by lav shebei memais, there should be chayiv malchus. And as we were going to learn, most told that there is no chayiv malchus. Answer the Gemara, lasis ksiv. The Torah uses the words lasois to teach us it's a only by lav sheyesh b'mais. Says the Gemara, lav shenitel asay nami. We're going to learn that any lav that can be corrected by an asay, the best example is gzela, where if somebody steals, but he can repair it. The heshev is a gzela. Alav shetitik lasei, there is no chiv malchus. Ask the Gemara, according to Rabbi Shmuel, that all lavim carry a chiv malchus. So if so, lav shetitik lasei nami should carry a chiv malchus. Answers the Gemara, dumi de lav chesima. The Torah speaks about the chiv malchus, and right next to it, the Torah speaks about like sachsim shabadishai. So the Torah is teaching us that dumi de lav chesima, chesima, which means muzzling an animal while it's working in the field, becomes now the model for when there's a chi of malchus. And there's only a chi of malchus, and chesima is a lav sheyesh b'maisa, it's not a lav shenitik lasei. The kula demya, the lav de chesima. Rabbi Kiva my tama. According to Rabbi Kiva, why don't you get malchus? Because he says k'dei rishasai, b'shem risha achas atam mechayva. We only give one punishment, v'yatam mechayva, b'shem shtei rishayis. Therefore, we can't give both malchus and misa, and both malchus and we can't give malchus and misa. And says Rabbi Shmuel, when is the halach of kimle b'drabanei? Shmuel hani milim misa mamon u'malchus mamon. Ava misa malchus is considered misa richtahi, because it's all a corporal punishment. Ask the Rabbi Kiva. If Rabbi Kiva is worried about kimle b'drabanei, yachi chayv krisis nami, why does Rabbi Kiva say that there is a chiv malchus by chiv krisis? My amrit shemasa tshuva, and therefore the chiv kares falls away. Hashta mis loyavdi. And therefore, the Gemara's question is, if Rabbi Kiva is so strong about the opinion of Kimlev the Rabbanei, he shouldn't apply it even by Chorus and Malchus. That's what we'll pick up tomorrow.